there, wild one. Welcome back. This one's for the rooted seekers, the curious unlearners, and the wild blends. If you've ever felt the pull to slow down, reconnect, and remember what your grandma knew, this conversation is your invitation to begin. Today, we're heading into the known with someone that I trust deeply, not just as a practitioner, but as a soul guide through some of the most transformational moments of my life. Herbalist, fascia therapist, and founder of Graceful Bear Wellness, Yasha is here to help us remember something our ancestors never forgot, that healing can be gentle, wise, and right at our fingertips, that the body knows, the plants know, and we can relearn how to listen. So whether you're managing stress, sleep struggles, hormonal shifts, or you're just trying to build a more natural home for your family, this conversation is your invitation to start simply and intentionally. Today, we're talking practical herbal remedies, go-to apothecary items, the power of teas, and how to know when your body needs more. If you've ever wondered where to begin with all of this, or how to trust yourself again, or what healing from the root really looks like, this episode is for you. So pour something warm, grab a notebook if you're a note taker, and if not, no worries, I've got you covered in the show notes. And let's remember what we were never meant to forget. Reclaim your rhythm. Rethink the rules. Rewrite your life. This is Wildly Intentional, the show where we question the scripts we've inherited and build a life, family, and legacy on purpose. If you're done living on autopilot, come with a curious mind and a courageous heart. Here, we talk about what it means to question, unlearn, create, and build what truly matters. I'm your host, Mandy, maverick mom of three, maker, family culture builder, lifelong question asker, and the friend people call when they're ready to rethink, well, everything. I'm here to shake the norms, tell the truth, and light the way forward. Before we dive in, let me introduce you to today's guest. This is someone I trust with my own story and healing journey. Yasha is the founder of Graceful Bear Wellness, where she's been helping people reconnect with their bodies and the earth for over a decade. As an herbalist, craniosacral fascial therapist, and holistic wellness guide, Yasha supports her community with one-on-one herbal consults, gentle body work, and empowering education rooted in trust, intuition, and ancestral wisdom. She was also my doula and the person who walked beside me through my home birth, a story that we'll share in a future episode that dives deep into birth as both a rite of passage and a sacred unraveling. But today, we're going to focus on the powerful everyday practice of herbal healing and to start your own apothecary, what herbs every household should know, and why your body may just be craving something far simpler and wiser than what you've been sold. I'm so honored to welcome my good friend Yasha to the show. Yasha, thanks for being here today with me.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, I'm super excited about this conversation. I've known you for a long time, so I want you to kind of tell our listeners, what first drew you to herbalism, and what did that learning path look like for you?
Yeah, I'm not sure that we've ever actually talked about this part of my journey before, but my journey started probably when I was a kid. My grandma lived right next door to me, and even though she, I wouldn't say she was an herbalist, and I wouldn't say she was very naturally minded. She did come here from Poland when she was older. My mom came here when she was a child also. And she brought a lot of folk remedies with her. And I remember as a kid, there was this linden tree in our front yard. And I guess I don't actually know when you harvest linden. I've never done that before. But she would harvest the flowers and the leaves, and she would dry them, and she would make tea in the winter. And I also remember her making syrups, and I remember distinctly whenever my grandpa got a cold, he would just eat a ton of garlic and he would reek like garlic. So lots of folk remedies. And Also growing up, my mom would take us to the health food store. She also wasn't super naturally minded. We had standard American diet and we grew up eating lots of terrible foods, but she still went there. And I remember loving the smell of the health food store. It just smells so good there. So even though my childhood wasn't full of herbs or really naturally minded things, there were little bits and pieces that were shown to me as a child.
I think so. When I think of our journey together, you and me with herbs, I mean, our whole interaction and how we met was through elderberries. Mm-hmm. I bought elderberries from you. And to me at the time, making elderberry syrup felt like a really big feat. And I remember I not only bought the elderberries from you, but then a couple of weeks later had you over to teach me how to make mm-hmm. elderberry syrup. And now I make elderberry syrup like while I'm making canning, you know, like it's another thing that seems so simple to me now. But at the time that felt like a big feat. But even just in our friendship over the last 4 or 5 years, I mean, I feel like you've learned so much through herbalism that you're just constantly adding your knowledge and changing things. So how are you learning about that? Or where are you learning about herbalism?
Yeah, I love that you brought up elderberry, because actually that was probably the first remedy that I made years ago was elderberry syrup. I'll back up. So years ago, I learned how to make elderberry syrup, and that was my introduction as well. And over the years, even in the time that I've gotten to know you, I feel like every year I'm learning more and more about herbs, and so it's definitely a journey. And so you asked me earlier what was my learning path like. I mean, it's kind of like everyone else's when they start to find something that they're passionate about. So I remember when I was in college and I lived in Denver and continuing going to health food stores often just to go and get, you know, organic food or like the healthy quote unquote snacks. And at that time, I was not eating very healthy, even though I thought I was. Mm-hmm. And a friend actually, I was super stressed out. I was going to school. And I was working a job, and a friend gave me a bottle of passion flower tincture and was like, oh, my mom saw this on Oprah and I thought maybe you would like it. And I was like, great, whatever, I'll just take it. If you're not familiar with passion flower, it's really good for stress. So I started taking it and I was like, oh, this is so cool. I've never like used an herb with a purpose before. You know, you put herbs in food. You know, my grandma used linden tea, but I never actually used it for myself before. So that was my introduction to herbalism, was just kind of by accident. And so since then, every year I feel like I have been learning more and more and incorporating more herbs into my life. But it wasn't until I had my first son, who is now almost 11, that I realized I wanted to take care of him differently than how I was raised. And that's when I started turning to herbs. And so from that time, it was a lot of self-study. I was buying different books like Rosemary Gladstar. She's a great introduction to herbal medicine, learning to make my own teas and just going from there. So my whole journey, it has been a lot of self-study. I've read a lot of books. I love getting new herbal books. But only in the last couple of years have I actually taken a more advanced training. And that's what you've been seeing me in my journey. And I feel like since then, I thought I was a really good herbalist. And now I realized I didn't really know anything. And now I feel like I learn so much all the time and I'm constantly learning. And so that's my herbal journey.
I love that. And I think that your herbal journey and the fact that you're always learning and come back and look at it in hindsight, right? Like that's so similar to even homeschooling or just any sort of learning journey, right? Like we're never done learning. So I love that you're willing to own that aspect and just be like, you're just a better herbalist today than you were last year. Mm-hmm. But I think you were still providing a lot of value last year. And I love that you're able to share that. So you mentioned books. I love to recommend books. So I will be asking you for books here. And I'll be linking to any books that she talks about or Rosemary Gladstar down in the show notes too. I mean, you can also find those on bookshop.org if you'd like. But let's talk about some specific herbs today. So I really want to help us figure out like, what can we use? What can we do if we want to start our own apothecary? Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So Do you see your herbal work as reclaiming something that was like once common knowledge?
So I would say yes and also no.
Okay, talk about that.
So yes, in a sense that our ancestors, like my grandparents, for example, and I'm sure your grandparents or your great grandparents were not afraid to just treat things at home with whatever they had around, whether that was an actually like an herb or more like a folk remedy, like, oh, some honey mixed with, I don't know, whiskey or something like that. So in that sense, we have completely outsourced as a society what we're willing to treat at home versus what we're just too overwhelmed to treat at home. And we outsource it to pediatricians and whatnot. But on the flip side, I think that we kind of romanticize the past and think, oh, everybody must have been an herbalist. And that's just also not true. While our ancestors were treating things at home, there were still things that they just didn't know how to treat. And so they would look to somebody in their community, the community herbalist, the grandma down the road who knew more about things, and they would go to that person for help. So that's my response to that.
You saying that reminds me of the book Stregonona.
By Tony Gahama. I love that book.
I do too. And like, she's totally that woman that like helps all the villagers.
That's like who I aspire to be. I want to be a little grandma in the woods that everybody comes to.
Yes. We love Stregonona. You're totally a modern day Stregonona. Were there any herbs you were personally skeptical of until they worked?
So I don't know that I was skeptical of any herbs, but I didn't know the healing power of plantain until I needed to use it myself. So plantain is such a great herb. It grows outside. It's guaranteed that it's growing in your driveway right now. It's everywhere. And it's actually, indigenous tribes called it white man's footprint, because wherever a white man walked, there plantain would be growing. So it's really easy to find. It is a drawing herb. So it will draw out impurities, toxins, venom, stings, things like that. So you can put them on bug bites, bee stings, tick bites. I've heard stories of people who have gotten bitten by snakes, and they were up in the mountains hiking, and they packed their wound full of plantain and had to drive to the hospital. And by the time they got there, it was fine, and they didn't even need antivenom because it had pulled out all of the toxins. Now, I'm not suggesting like you should substitute that for going to the hospital, but I did not know that it was that powerful until I used it myself. So recently, my son stepped on a rusty nail, and it was a puncture wound, and we treated it at home, and I wasn't really worried about, what is it called?
Tetanus.
Thank you. I wasn't really worried about tetanus. And I packed it full of plantain, and after a couple of hours, the pus was pulled out. Whatever pus was in there was pulled out, and it wasn't anything else we were doing. And so that was a testament to itself. Like, wow, this really does pull out a bunch of stuff.
That's amazing. I think plantain, you've introduced me to plantain, and like dandelion, it would be considered a modern day weed. Like, mm-hmm. It society definitely is like, that's a weed. Like, get it out of my yard.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you've recommended that I use plantain to do things, and to the point where like, they're called poultices, right?
Mm-hmm. Poultice, yeah.
Poultice, where my daughter will make poultices on like sticks and stuff, like as she's playing outside.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you scraped yourself, and do that. So I think that's a fun way that even they're picking up on this knowledge from us.
Yes, it's awesome. It's such, and plantain especially, like you can point it out to any kid. They've definitely seen it. And if you teach a kid, yeah, you just chew it up the leaf, you put it on whatever bug bite or bee sting, and it'll pull it out. And that makes them so empowered to be using an herb on their own body and feel that sting or that itch go away quickly.
I think talking about the kids in this, and they love to learn these things and look for them, and they feel really empowered when they find a quote weed or they forage something that they know. So I think if you're a parent listening to this and you're like, I wish I knew more of these things, don't be afraid to learn alongside your kids, because mm-hmm. they love to learn these things and scavenger hunt. And I think that part of the identification is part of the fun of it.
Yeah, for sure. There's a couple of great books. Well, I guess it depends on where you live, but there's Midwest Foraging and there's also Backyard Medicine. And we keep those two on our shelves. And those are great because they tell you how you can you know, you don't have to always use herbs as medicine. So how can you eat this plant? How can you put it in a salad? How can you just, you know, find it in the forest and eat it as you go along? So that's really empowering, and it helps make herbs feel less scary.
Yes, absolutely. So talking about less scary, you know, I have an apothecary cabinet and I have dreams of it being full of herbs and knowing what to do. But the reality for me is that's just not happening. Either I have jars of stuff that I don't know what to do with, or I just have a lot of empty jars because I don't even know what to buy. So I kind of want to go into like apothecary basics and a beginner's apothecary. So if someone's brand new to this, where would you recommend that they start?
So I would start, yes, by looking in your own medicine cabinet, even if it's not filled with herbs or tinctures or anything like that, and just noticing like what is in there. And I think that the hardest part for a lot of people when they're just starting is they go, oh, I just don't know where to start. But sometimes educating yourself on maybe why taking Tylenol might not be the best option for your body. Learning about the risks of taking over-the-counter medicine and what it's doing to your gut microbiome. Sometimes that's really eye-opening for a lot of people, and they don't realize that, oh, this thing that I bought, you know, at the grocery store actually isn't really good for me at all. So learning about maybe why you shouldn't be taking those gut-damaging medicines, and then learning about what you can replace them with.
I think one of the things that as I started consulting with you about elderberry, for me, I was a big Vicks VapoRub. I defaulted to putting that on. That was put on me a lot as a child, and to the point where like I would put it in my nose, up my nose, like everything. And I think it was you telling me that's full of petroleum.
Well, yeah, it's petroleum. Like the entire base is petroleum, and you can easily substitute beeswax and olive oil and make your own vapor rub at home.
And so you doing that for me and with me has been really big, because that, like I said, was one of my go-tos. But yeah, just starting to challenge, like, what is in this that I'm taking? Mm-hmm. So I guess, like, let's get a little specific here. Like, what is in your family's go-to apothecary? Like, if I don't want, I'm sure yours is sizable. So
yes, I have a lot of things in my apothecary.
I'm not asking for you to list everything, but like, if I was to start to dabble in this, what would you be like, here's the top 5 to 10 herbs that we should have. And then like, what, why those?
Yeah, I think honestly, the easiest thing, even easier than like looking through your medicine cabinet at like Tylenol or Vicks or whatever, rather than looking at like cold and flu medicine, an easier thing to stock up on with herbs would be the first aid cabinet. So what do you reach for when your kid falls and scrapes their knee? What do you reach for when you get poison ivy? It's probably, you know, Neosporin or a first aid cream or the pink goopy calamine lotion. I challenge you to look at those. And if you didn't already know, for example, that ointment that I just mentioned, Neosporin, it actually traps bacteria because it's made with petroleum. So you're putting it on your kid's wound thinking that it's going to heal, and it's actually making things worse. So looking at your first aid kit and finding other alternatives, that would be the easiest approach, because those are not usually like life and death situations, right? Where you may be feeling a little more comfortable, like, oh, I could put an herb on this scratch instead of something that I bought at the store. Or I could, for a bug bite, I can put something else on it. So what's in my first aid cabinet? I would say probably top three would be yarrow. Yarrow is something that everybody should have in their first aid cabinet. Yarrow is a plant that grows outside. You can buy it as a tincture. You can make it as a tincture. If you're not feeling inclined to make it, you just buy it. Yarrow stops bleeding. So if you have a wound that is bleeding a lot and you need to have it stop, you just drop a couple of droppers of that tincture on your wound and it'll make it stop. That's one of those herbs, again, where, you know, I knew that that worked, and then I didn't realize how well it worked until I needed to have it work really quickly. My husband was working on our rabbit hutch, and he was putting on metal roofing on top to keep the rain out. And, you know, those are really sharp. It sliced him right on the inside of his arm, and he was bleeding like crazy. In retrospect, if I wasn't an herbalist, he probably would have had to get stitches. It was really wide open. But he came in, I put yarrow on it, it stopped bleeding, and then I applied other things like the all-purpose healing salve. Over time, we covered with a bandage, and it's fine. Like, he hardly has a scar.
I want to pause you for a second there, because at this point, you've said that your son has stepped on a nail and your husband has been sliced open by metal. I mean, these are two things that most people would freak out and be running to the hospital for. So, like, what is your threshold? Like, when are you, like, herbalism is not going to help us here. I need to actually seek medical attention versus, like, pause. There's something different I can do than this default.
Yeah. So I'm sure me talking about those things is like totally normal in my own mind. And I know that that is not what most people would do. So, I mean, what you're willing to work on at home is obviously going to vary on how confident you are in what you're doing. Or, you know, you can call me and I'll help you.
That's what I do. I think I use you as a sounding board mm-hmm. in terms of like, what can I treat versus I'm not willing to deal with this anymore, or this isn't getting better and it's getting concerning. Like, my daughter had a spider bite at one point and it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And it continued to escalate where I had to actually go in and get it treated. Mm-hmm. But I gave that a good couple of days of herbal remedies mm-hmm. and it just continued to get bad. So I think every parent's going to navigate that differently. Like you said, based on confidence, based on what actually happened. I think the bigger point here is that there may be an alternative to just rushing in for medical care or a freak out, right? Like, I think a lot of times it's just taking a breath and then figuring out, like, what can I do to help whatever has occurred?
Yeah, totally.
There's options.
Mm-hmm. I have more ideas for your first aid kit. So we've got yarrow, which is a great bleeding tincture. I also have an all-purpose salve. Of course, you can make this yourself or you can buy it. I have one called Regina salve that's like all-purpose. That's what I put on cuts and scrapes, things that I want to prevent from getting a scar, just to help things heal along. I think that a lot of times when someone asks me, well, why would I want to use that? And it's like, well, why wouldn't you want to help your body like heal faster rather than just slapping a Band-Aid on it and calling it a day? Helping your body along is a really helpful thing to do. St. John's wort oil would be another thing that I would not go anywhere without. That one is amazing for burns or sore joints or sore muscles, but I have found it most useful with burns or anytime that you're like, you have an injury where you have damaged the nerve. So like you slam your finger in a door or you pinch your toe, you stub your toe. It actually helps a lot. So those are a couple of things that you can easily just add to your first aid cabinet that anybody can use.
Now, I think I also am asking this. So I'm sure other people listening are like, so am I planting this, Yasha? Am I buying dried leaves? And then I just rub dried leaves on me. Like, am I buying a tincture? Like, what am I buying? Or how do I know how to do that?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where the learning curve comes in. Like I said, yarrow, you can use herbs in multiple ways. So you can get a yarrow tincture. You can get yarrow powder where you kind of like drop the powder onto your bleeding cut. You can get ointments. That's the all-purpose salve that I would suggest. And then St. John's wort is an oil. So you can make all these, but you can also just buy them. There are lots of herbalists out there that sell great products. I sell products. But you can find them even if, you know, you have a health food store nearby. They probably have all three of those things in the health food store.
And so for tinctures, are you topically applying them or are you like consuming them?
No, for an injury, you're topically applying it.
To the actual injury.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just wanting to clarify, because like over our friendship, as I've been learning these things, these are all questions that I've texted you. Like, mm-hmm. what do I do with this? I bought it, but now what? And I think there comes this like, well, it's not a prescription that's been written to me, right? And so I don't necessarily know what to do or how to do it. And these are things that you've taught me that helped me increase my confidence to be able to treat and do things at home mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, totally. And I also have this free ebook if you sign up on my website for my newsletter. It's a free ebook about how to build your own first aid kit with herbal remedies. And so I have it listed on there, like, here's how you would use yarrow. Here's how you'd use St. John's wort. What is it good for? And yeah, also, I mean, I offer, like, this is me plugging my own business, but I do offer, like, one-on-one consultations, both for short-term things, like, you have a question, how do I use this thing? Or what can I put on my daughter's, you know, spider bite? And it's only a 15-minute, like, you have time for 15 minutes before you decide to rush off to the emergency room and decide, like, can I treat this at home? What would someone who's an herbalist suggest to me? Or should I just, you know, go? I mean, obviously, if it's a huge emergency, then you should take your child or yourself. But if you think, oh, maybe this is not quite the emergency that I thought it would be. I mean, I offer consultations, and there are tons of herbalists out there that offer one-on-one consultations.
Yeah, I've even had you over and gone through my whole medicine cabinet mm-hmm. and said, this is what I default to. And you've given me different options, both herbals and, like, safer over-the-counter medications mm-hmm. to use. And I found that very, I wrote cheat sheets about that on, like, if we get hurt, here's step one, here's step two, here's step three. And it is very case by case. So I don't think there's, like, a cheat sheet that's going to solve everything for you. But that gave me a lot of confidence to step into. I feel really good about our medicine cabinet and our first aid kit. Mm-hmm. And okay, so a very common way to use herbs is a first aid kit, as you've mentioned, and given us some great herbs to get started with that. So thank you for that knowledge. Teas. I mean, people are always offering teas. You want a tea? Or I see you're always posting, like, lavender and all these different types of things that you're getting. Would you please talk about the role of herbs and teas and, like, sleepy time teas, energetic teas? Like, just how are you putting together teas? What is the role that herbs play in teas? How do you know what herbs go together in teas? Just all things tea.
Yeah, I love drinking tea. I feel like in my progression as an herbalist, I use teas less so medicinally than I used to. Now, when I'm working with a client and we're trying to find a remedy that works for them, I don't usually default to tea. I usually use tinctures. They're just a little bit more potent. Obviously, they're easier to transport around with you, but that doesn't mean that I use teas any less. I think teas have a great role in offering vitamins and minerals and nutrients that are not available in tinctures. So certain herbs that are more like tonic herbs, like red raspberry leaf or nettle or milky oats or oat straw, those are really high in vitamins and minerals. And those are a great way to give your body an herb that's going to help it. And even if you're not drinking a tea that has those kinds of herbs in it, I think that just by incorporating herbs into our daily life, it is such a huge boost to our bodies. Like, we need that. We need that, like, little tiny dose of medicine. And it's not going to be potent enough to, like, really influence anything. It's just offering us something that we need health-wise. I also like offering teas to my children. I think that that's a huge benefit for them. For one, they like to make their own blends of teas, which I'm like, I would never put that together. And they love it because they are hands-on creating different formulas and they're trying things out and they're figuring out what tastes good. But it also helps them when they are actually sick and I do actually need to give them a tincture. They're already used to those flavors. So it's not anything like out of the ordinary. They're already used to taking plants. So it's nothing that they've never experienced before. So that's a huge benefit. And as far as, like, sleepy time teas, a lot of the time, yes, it is the herb. Yes, chamomile is very relaxing. Lavender is relaxing. There are relaxing herbs, but it's only partly the actual plant. It's also the ritual. So, like, having a nice warm cup of tea before bed, that's a nice soothing, mentally, emotionally ritual that you can incorporate into your daily life.
Yeah. Kind of how I feel about coffee in the morning, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's actually the coffee filling me up or if it's, like, me mentally preparing to tackle the day and get into something warm and just starting to sink into the rhythm of it.
So, yeah, totally.
Yeah, I love that point of the ritual. So, yeah, sure. We've talked about first aid with herbs and even teas and relaxation are just a boost of energy and minerals and vitamins. Are there other things that we're using herbs for, or where else can we infuse them into our daily life?
Yeah. So the biggest one would be with illnesses. So whether it's, cold, flu, cough, or, digestive issues, it could be really anything that's going on internally with your body.
The whole gamut.
Yes.
Multiple. I think, to your point, the herb that you would recommend would depend on what ailment you have at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So any other uses of herbs? I know you use them all the time, all day, every day. You have a little purse of stuff that you're carrying around. But for the beginner apothecary or the person just starting to dabble, when we're hurt or we just want a ritual or something different to drink than water or coffee, or even if you're trying to wean yourself from pop or something different, right? Tea would be a good go-to. And then illnesses. Is there anything else that you feel like should be a trigger to be like, try herbs here?
Oh, yeah, for sure. In cooking. I think they're totally underused in cooking. I think a lot of people, when people come over to my house and I'm constantly putting different herbs in food, they're often surprised, like, oh, this tastes so good. What did you do? And it's like, oh, I just used fresh herbs from my garden. Or, I just made this salt earlier this year that has like all these different herbs in it. But you don't have to just take it from your garden. Adding herbs to your food it's not going to be medicinal. You're not getting huge doses of these herbs. But it's also a little reminder to your body, like, oh, plants are good for me. And again, if you have children, oh, I like to eat plants. I like to put these in my body.
I love that you brought cooking up. I grew up very like plain food, and my husband definitely had a lot of different herbs and spices and stuff that he was adding to his. And the more I learned too about Ayurvedic, they're infusing tons of herbs. Mm-hmm. And so this is just such an easy thing, to your point, where either we're buying spices or herbs that are easy to put into food, or, like, that's a great beginner garden, right? Mm-hmm. Like cilantro and parsley and yes. oregano and sage. These are so easy to put into meals. Even turmeric. Turmeric with pepper really helps with anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just put turmeric in anything that's yellow. So like eggs, and just if it's yellow, I put turmeric on it. And then I just do a little bit of pepper because I feel like I can kind of hide it with whatever yellow they're eating.
Yeah. You know, what's really good with turmeric is mango. I don't actually make this at home, but there's this coffee shop that we like to go to in Cedar Rapids, and they have a mango turmeric smoothie. I'll just plug it. It's Dash. It's our favorite coffee shop. They have a mango turmeric smoothie. Whenever we go there, the kids always get it. And the barista at the counter is always like, and would you want the turmeric in it? Because it's for kids. And I'm like, yes, they will be sad if there's no turmeric in it. And it goes really well together.
It's so good. What other herbs do you feel like are just so easy to put into cooking?
Lemon balm. Well, maybe not necessarily cooking, but I love putting lemon balm in baked goods, in lemonade. It has such a nice, subtle, lemony flavor. My favorite are lemon balm poppy seed cookies. They taste so good together.
That's awesome. I default to parsley a lot because it has like practically no taste. And so it's just like a very easy like little green to sprinkle in there. I love that you brought up cooking with herbs. That's such a no-brainer when you said it, but I didn't even think to ask about that. I want to talk quickly about what would you say to someone who just kind of feels like this might be living on the edge, if you will, or they're afraid of doing it wrong, or maybe this feels too crunchy for them.
I would say it's not too crunchy. I would say you can go to, the quote unquote extreme, I suppose, like I am at when you mentioned that I'm treating everything with herbs, but you don't have to go to that extreme. You can do such a simple swap of just, like we said, adding herbs to cooking, having a cup of tea at night. The more that you expose yourself to herbs and how they can help your body, the more you're probably going to start using them and realize that they're here on the planet for us to enjoy, and they really do help people with all kinds of things.
Yeah, I mean, you even saying that, I'm like, I started with elderberries and I really feel like I've grown a lot since then in utilizing them more. And I didn't put pressure on myself that I have to be at your level, if you will, mm-hmm. or like really huge. I think it's just like what's working for my family right now. And knowing that everyone's threshold is different for mm-hmm. what that looks like, how they can infuse herbs, what when they feel like they need to do something more or over the counter. And I think there's no wrong answer. It's all just do what's right for your family. And if this seems like a fun thing to start to dabble in, to your point, like Rosemary Gladstar, what book of hers would you recommend for like a beginner person looking? I have a couple of them.
Rosemary Gladstar has some great books. I feel like she's a really approachable herbalist for when you have no idea, you've never used herbs before, you just want to learn how to make a tea or what, you know, what you might look to when learning. But there are lots of other herbalists out there. My favorite teacher is Matthew Wood. I feel like when I learned about his mindset in regards to herbs, that's when I really took everything up to a next level. Like I really started to understand how herbs were working in the body and how herbs interact with humans and how to look for an herb and how it's going to help people. So I feel like that was like my next level up. But if you feel like, you know, you're really into herbs and you want to learn more, his books are where you need to go.
Yasha, I am sitting here during this conversation. I've been along with you for the ride for 4 or 5 years now. And I am just thinking back to like 10 years ago, Mandy would be sitting, listening to this podcast, frivolously writing notes and have probably by this point, we've dropped 30 or more herbs. So if you're okay, I want to do like a rapid fire. Like,
okay,
if I was to buy a tincture, what would I buy and what would I use it for?
I'd have to say I can't just pick one, so I'll pick two.
Okay.
I would say yarrow and elderflower. So yarrow, like I said, that one's for bleeding. That one is good for open cuts, but it's also really good for bruises. It's in one of my bruise salves that I make. So you would put it on topically to kind of help the bruise go away. My teacher, Matthew Woods, he likes to quote his teacher, who I can't remember his teacher's name, but he always talks about how you always treat a bruise. Stagnant blood can turn bad down the line. Maybe not tomorrow, but down the road in your life, if you don't treat your bruises, it's not good for your body. So treat your bruises. And yarrow is also really good for high fevers. It's also good for cardiovascular health. And then elderflower, I like having elderflower whenever anyone gets a cold. There are very few herbs that I would say this is for any kind of issue, but elderflower is. Elderflower I put in every single herbal formula for a cold. So that's what I always start off with. And elderflower is also really good for lowering fever.
If I was going to want pretty jars with dried herbs, what would you say would be the top 3 to 5 I should have? And what do I use them for?
Are we talking about just to make it look pretty?
I know. Like, I want to be able to use them, too. I think that's been my problem is I have some in jars that I feel like I probably should have this, but I don't know what to do with it. So how do we give listeners the way to avoid that? Like, give them meaningful dried herbs that they can use. Like, I would say elderberry would. That's one that I feel like so easy. I love that one. It's fun to make.
Well, you don't want to keep them in a dried jar, though. You don't want to keep your herbs in just a jar. You want to actually use them, right? So if you want jars of pretty herbs on the shelf, then you're going to use them as teas. Elderberry, yes, that's a great one. That's elderberry is a good herb for immune health. So you make it into a syrup, or you can also make it into a tincture. I think syrups are more approachable for a lot of people. That was your gateway herb. That was also mine.
Any other dried leaves or herbs that you would have? Like chamomile, lavender? Would you recommend those for people? Or
so if we're talking about just keeping dried herbs, then we're talking about teas. And so if we're talking about teas, then I would say red raspberry leaf, nettle, and oat straw are great herbs to have around. They don't have a ton of flavor, but those are the ones that are packed full of vitamins and minerals. They're really good for your body. my herbal teacher, Matthew Woods, he always says, when in doubt, use nettles. So that's kind of a good reminder. Like, if you don't really know what you're doing, it's not bad to just give somebody some nettle tea. Okay. And then to make them taste, since those herbs don't really taste like much, think about what you want to add to your herbal tea. Do you like cinnamon? Add some cinnamon to that blend. Do you like mint? You can add some mint to make it taste better. So all those other herbs, chamomile, those are going to add some flavor in. And that's a really good way to just make your own tea blends.
Yasha, after I had my baby and you were here for the home birth, you made me this drink. I cannot remember what it was called, but it was like so milky and cinnamony, and like it just felt so nourishing. Mm. And I still think about it. I'm like, oh, I wish I could drink that again. What was that? And that, like, what's the recipe? Or like, how can I make that?
Yeah, that was just golden milk. So afterwards, you were pretty inflamed with if you remember, well, of course you remember, it was your body, but your leg was really inflamed. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to give you some like easy to take anti-inflammatories. And so turmeric is an anti-inflammatory, ginger is anti-inflammatory. Those are good for your circulation. So it was just a golden milk latte. So it had turmeric, ginger, of course, it had black pepper. And then I also added, to make it taste better, some cinnamon. I'm sure I put cardamom in there too. But those are all really nice warming spices. And especially after you have a baby, whether you're inflamed or not, those are great because after a baby, you're very open, you're very cold. And so those nice warming herbs kind of help warm your body back up after you have a baby. Or just anytime, really.
Yeah. I remember the first sip was like, whoa, what was that? but it was like, I guess, kind of like your first coffee or your first beer. You know, it's like the more you drink, the more you're like, okay. This, and then like, I really was like, when, I think it's time for my golden milk now. Mm-hmm. Like, and to the point where like, I still keep thinking about it. And I'm like, I just need to make that because it was so nourishing. Like it felt so comforting and delicious. So Yasha, I kind of want to get back to the disconnect between like the modern house and herbal medicine and just even how conventional systems will prioritize quick fixes. And many people might not realize that they can begin their healing at home. So I guess my question is this, are there specific herbs that you would recommend for stress, sleep, digestion, or hormonal balance?
So the answer is yes, there are herbs that I would recommend for those things, but I can't tell you what those are.
What?
Because the thing with herbs is that it's not a one-size-fits-all approach.
Sure.
So I think a lot of people, like we are so trained as a society to be like, oh, this herb's good for stress. This herb's good for digestion. But there are hundreds of different herbs for digestion. There's hundreds of different herbs for a cold or a cough. And so if you've ever Googled like, what do I take for a cold? You'll see like a whole list of things. Okay, so there's you know, a list of things that'll come up, but just because an herb is good for a certain cold or good for digestion doesn't mean that that's the herb that you need. So I'm going to go on a short rant here. There's okay. a really well-known company. I'm not going to call them out because that would be rude. There's a well-known herbal company that a lot of people love. And when I go on their website and I see their blends for colds or their blends for coughs, their blends for digestion, what they've done is just thrown a bunch of herbs in their formulas and called it a day. And I look at those and I think, well, yeah, all those herbs are good for coughs, but it depends on what kind of cough you have. It depends on what is going on in your digestion system. So one of the things that, like when a client calls me and says, hey, my kid has a cough, what do I give them? And I'm not sure if you've ever done this before, but do you remember what I've asked you?
Is it dry or what?
Yeah, I say, let me hear their cough. Let me hear it because I need to hear, is it dry? Is it wet? Is there a bunch of phlegm in the bottom of it? Is it a really deep cough? Is it a hacking cough? There are so many different kinds of coughs. And so what herb you need for that specific cough or what you're experiencing in your body, it depends. And so I feel like, again, back to that herbal company, if you're trying to sell a product, of course, you don't know what that person is going to need. So you're going to put it all in there. But I think that that's actually a downfall because sometimes someone will take that thinking, oh, I'm using herbs, I'm going to help my cough, and it doesn't go away. And then they say, oh, herbs don't work. And it's like, no, they do work. You just took the wrong herb. Mm. And so that's the biggest obstacle, is that I can't tell you what's going to help your stress or what's going to help your sleep, because I don't know what you're experiencing. Everyone is unique, and what you experience is different than what I experience. And so I need to actually talk to you and learn about your history to figure out what herb is going to help you.
You saying that makes me be like, how do I know that I'm buying, if I'm trying to buy some of these herbs that we've talked about today, how do I know that the company that I'm buying them from is, are you saying buy straight herbs instead of blends then? Or like, how do you navigate that as a consumer trying to dabble and get good products?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that's why it's helpful to work one-on-one with an herbalist. And I don't just say that to like get people to like come work with me, but I think it's really valuable to realize that there are things that you're not going to know. I mean, if you want to learn all about herbs, like, great, you should. Like, it's going to take some time to learn about the body and how a plant interacts with the body, and how, and you have to learn about the plant and what is the plant, you know, used for? What is it doing in the body? And that's a lot of learning. It's not just, oh, this herb's good for cold, so I'll just give it for every single cold that I have. Like, that's not going to work. So working one-on-one with an herbalist, that is helpful. I would also say generally avoid pre-made formulas. Some of them are good. I mean, if you look on in my own apothecary that I'm selling, I only have 2 pre-made formulas. One is for pain, and one is for stress. And still, if this is a chronic issue, if you're in chronic pain, it's probably not going to help you. If you are chronically stressed, that formula is probably not going to help you. You need a more specific, tailored formula, and you need to work one-on-one. Because also working with an herbalist, they'll be able to see, is this herb working, or do we need to change it and do something else?
Okay.
There's also, there's this saying that a lot of people like to throw around that are, you know, in the crunchy sphere that are learning about being natural, and they'll say, well, herbs are for everyone. And I have mixed feelings about that, because I think that what they're going for when they say that is that anyone can be an herbalist. And while that's true, yes, anyone can be an herbalist, but it takes time, it takes learning, it takes training, it takes experience and trial and error. But I think that when I hear that, what I really am hearing, herbs are for everyone, it's like herbs can help everyone.
Everyone can benefit mm-hmm. from utilizing herbs, but not everyone. I mean, I know, like, I like to lean on you, because to me, making the tinctures is an arduous thing. Like, I don't have the attention span for it. I don't want to do that. I enjoy planting them and just tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I need. I would rather be out in the garden or doing other things than making the tincture. So like, that's what I really value.
It's like my favorite part. Yeah, I love doing that.
I think finding that balance that helps me, because I don't want to do that.
Like, mm-hmm.
I think that's hard. I worry about messing that up, and it's easier for me to just know this is what I should do. But to your point, it's all different.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this in innovation too. I think we all just want a nail and a hammer, you know, mm-hmm. like when this happens, hit this and you're good.
Right.
And our bodies are not like that. They're so complex mm-hmm. and it's so hard to predict how your body's made up. And then also like, what is happening to your body? And is there anything else going on? And then also like the parent or whoever's just tolerance on like how to handle the situation and what to do. So there is no perfect formula here,
right?
To your point.
Yeah. And I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, quote unquote gatekeeping. That's another thing that's thrown around, is, oh, you're gatekeeping because you just want, you know, everyone to come to you. And it's like, I don't want that. And so if you are feeling compelled that you want to learn about something, or you just want to feel like you can treat your family at home, I will recommend what has been recommended by lots of herbalists in the past. It's like, find one plant and learn everything you can about it, and be confident in that one plant. And then once you feel confident, like, oh, I know exactly what this plant does in the body. I know exactly, you know, how to prepare it or how to make a tea or a tincture or whatever, and you feel good about that, then get another one. You don't have to learn every single plant all at the same time.
So I love this. And I'm just immediately thinking of the seasons, like one plant a season. Spring. What would be a good plant that's like in bloom or easily findable that they could learn?
Plantain.
About? Plantain. What about
summer? You know, I love plantain.
I do. What about summer?
Summer, I mean, elderflower, actually. I mean, we live in the Midwest, so if you've ever driven on a dirt road, you have seen elderflower growing in a ditch, also known as elderberry. So in this early summer, it's elderflower, and then it turns into a berry in the late summer. So that's a great time to just keep an eye out and look for it. And it's in bloom in the perfect time that it's needed. So elderflower, like I said earlier, that it helps lower fever. That means it's also really good in the heat of the summer when it's so hot outside. You can make an iced elderflower tea and it will help cool off your body.
Awesome. What about fall?
Well, elderberry. That's also an easy one. So there you go. You're learning about one plant in both aspects because both aspects are medicinal.
I love that.
And so elderberry, turning it into an elderberry syrup, and then getting prepared for the winter, which is cold and flu season. That is an immunomodulator, so it helps your immune system kind of fortify itself for the winter.
Yeah, to your point, it comes available when it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yeah, you harvest all that, you make your syrup, and you're ready to go for everybody starting to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
What about your winter herb to learn about?
I think for winter, just it can be as simple as like cinnamon or ginger, the warming herbs. Because in the winter, when it's cold, your body wants to warm up. And so keeping your body warm with warming herbs like cinnamon or ginger, those are great. Those are great herbs to learn about.
Okay. Two things here. One is you've mentioned yarrow multiple times on this. So if I was to pick yarrow, which season should I focus on that?
Yarrow is in bloom in the summertime.
Okay. And then winter, I mean, you've come over to my house and I have a lot of Eastern pines and you've asked to take pine needles. Mm-hmm. And I've always been like, yeah, whatever, take the pine needles. What are you doing with pine needles?
I love pine needles. You can make a pine needle tea.
Okay.
And so pine needle actually has the highest amount of vitamin C of a plant. So it has higher vitamin C per serving than like oranges or lemons, which is pretty crazy. And so, of course, that's the perfect time to be drinking pine needle teas in the winter when we all kind of need that more boost of vitamin C. So a really yummy blend would be pine needles and elderberry and a little like pinch of mint. And that's a really good tea for the winter.
And also winter, like you can be harvesting pine needles and cranberries and like oranges. I know a lot of people just boil that infuse the home
so good
with moisture and smelling. Yeah. I think just this whole conversation about herbs and how to take them and what to do. It's like just bringing nature and things that are so easily accessible and we're seeing all over the place into our home and into our bodies.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think like living seasonally, like you talked about, that's something that is so simple that you can do. So like we talked about earlier, going outside and, you know, looking around at what you can forage. My favorite thing in the springtime that I look forward to all winter is when all the flowers are in bloom and I make syrups out of them. They are not medicinal syrups. They are just for pure enjoyment and, you know, using plants in a yummy way. So I make lilac syrup, violet syrup, redbud syrup, forsythia syrup, and they taste so good. And it's just a nice way to connect with the plants and to go outside and get your hands in the earth and forage for things that are just freely available for you.
You've got me all excited, even just, you know, I'm the gardener, the planter, and you're the cooker and the infuser. It just makes me want to be like, I need to get Fred on here. I'm like, how do we plant these herbs and bushes and all the things you're talking about foraging and like to bloom throughout the year? So we're just surrounded by beauty and have all these options to forage. I need to get Fred back on the podcast. Okay. Yasha, we've talked about a lot of plants and a lot of herbs. I need to know if there's just one that's really on your heart or your mind that you haven't mentioned yet.
Yes, I would say lemon balm. I think I mentioned it earlier,
yeah.
But Lemon balm is my all-time favorite herb. I have it tattooed on my leg.
I didn't know that.
It's the first herb. So I say that I worked with elderberry first, and that's true, but I didn't really get to know elderberry. I got to know lemon balm. That was the first herb that I really like took a deep dive to like learn everything about. And it is such a wonderful plant. It's approachable to everyone. It's very gentle in the sense that children can use it, adults can use it. It was once known as the elixir of life. It's easy to use. Like I said, you can put it in cookies. You can make teas with it. You can make a tincture with it. It's very good for stress. It's an antiviral. It's really good if you get like cold sores. It's just so multi-purpose that I think everybody should be, they should have lemon balm in their garden for sure.
In their gardens. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you would recommend to someone just beginning to reconnect with plant wisdom?
I think to take it slow. And I think that if you are interested in learning more about plants, the first step is to tune into your own body. Something that I see a lot with clients, especially maybe those that are coming to, let's face it, most people that are turning to an herbalist are coming to me as their last resort. They've tried other things. Is that there's a huge disconnect into being in your body. So like, for example, when someone comes to me as a client, I have a really long list of questions that I ask them and they'll say, oh, I never thought about that before. Even things like, do you run hot or cold generally? Oh, I never thought about that. And so tuning into your body and like, what is your body telling you? What are you experiencing in your body? That is a huge step before you even dive into learning with herbs.
What got there for me was learning about Ayurvedic and the doshas and learning that like running cold is very vata.
Mm-hmm.
And that opened up so much for my knowledge in terms of like thinking about things that way. I always just thought my hands and feet are always cold.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just me. And that's actually an entire dosha.
Like, right.
That was wild to discover for me.
Yeah. And so like thinking about how you experience things and then applying it, like you said, like Ayurveda is a great way to learn about herbs, but there are also like, there's tons of different ways to think about herbs and your body. And so like the easiest way is just start with your own body and then look at herbs and learn about, well, how does this herb, is this herb warm or cold or dry or wet, or, you know, learning about things like that. So that would be my first step for someone who's interested in learning about plants.
I think what you said, Yasha, take it slow, is so important, because you can listen to this podcast for 45 minutes to an hour and hear Yasha drop all this wisdom. But realistically, Yasha, how long is it taking you to get to this conversation? Like in your knowledge and wisdom. This didn't just happen overnight. You didn't listen to a podcast once and then be like, okay, now I have all this confidence and I know exactly how to treat my kids and I know exactly what to do. It wasn't an overnight thing. So like that expectation, I think, just let go of.
Right.
But like realistically, how much wisdom are we talking about here? Like this has been a journey that you've been on for how many years?
Yeah. I mean, so I would say at least 10 years, if not longer, you know, inadvertently just being in a more naturally minded state before I actually started focusing in on herbs. It's definitely a process. And as you like, even though it is going to take a long time to learn about things, that doesn't mean that you know nothing. Even if you just, like I said, took some lemon balm and made a tea and just drank plain lemon balm tea, you have done something that other people have not done. You have tasted that plant. You have made something with it. You can tune into your body and see what is it doing to your body. How do you feel after you drink that lemon balm tea? That teaches you something. Mm-hmm. So that's where I was saying about tuning into your own body, because you can experience herbs that way. You don't have to learn everything from a book. You don't have to learn everything from a teacher. It is very helpful if you plan to work with other people or, you know, give other people advice about herbs, but for your own body, just tuning in and starting slow, starting with just one herb and just seeing what it's like to take that herb.
Yeah. Baby steps are still steps,
mm-hmm.
right? And there's learning in anything you're willing to try. good, bad, or indifferent, right?
Right.
I think that's great. So I guess, Yasha, before we wrap, is there anything else on your heart that you'd like to share or a word of encouragement that you would have for someone just starting out trusting their body again, or a reminder that you think that whoever's listening to this needs to hear?
I would just say that it's important to slow down and, again, to tune in and to pay attention and to also realize that your body is made to heal. Your body is capable of healing and that you don't always need to outsource that to other people. It's okay if you are not fixed the next day. It's okay if your healing takes time. And sometimes it takes a lot of layers to get down to what's actually causing the problem. So that's something that we didn't quite get to, but I will just say, like, a lot of times the root cause of an issue is so far down that whatever you're experiencing as far as a symptom is probably the top layer. So no matter what you do, if you're working with herbs or, you know, some other natural modality, it's probably going to take some time, but it's so worth it rather than just trying to cover things up with a Band-Aid or, you know, a medication or, you know, surgically removing the issue from your body. It's just that we need to slow down.
Yasha, thank you so much for being here and for sharing your wisdom in such a grounded and generous way.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. Every time I talk to you, I feel like I learn new things, and I talk to you quite often. So I just am so grateful. And thank you again for sharing.
Thank you.
Big thanks to Yasha from Graceful Bear Wellness. If you want to learn more or get Yasha in your back pocket so you can call her, she's always able for one-on-one consults. Or if you're curious about how to stock your home apothecary, all links will be waiting for you in the show notes, including all of Yasha's information, where you can also get the link to her free herbal first aid kit PDF. And if you love today's conversation, just wait, because I'm going to have Yasha back soon for a special episode where we're going to go deep into the sacred, messy, powerful world of birth, from home birth to holistic preparation. And we'll share our own birth stories and talk about what it really means to cross the threshold into parenthood with intention. So to recap, today we explored what it means to return to the earth for healing, to swap symptom chasing for deep-rooted wellness, to build an herbal rhythm that feels doable, beautiful, and aligned with your body's natural design. If this episode has stirred something in you, send it to the friend who's been looking for a better way to care for their body. Share it in your stories. Start the ripple, because herbal healing is for everyone. And this kind of remembering, it spreads best by oral storytelling. Follow the show so you don't miss it. Until then, stay rooted, be brave, and live wildly intentionally.